This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington on Follow Along on TV. And we're presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area because it works. Visit EMP180.com and get empowered. Game Show Wednesday coming up at 7:20. We're going to play NHL or a Russian politician. And you have a chance to win tickets to an evening with Alex Ovechkin, Tom Wilson, and Lars Eller. It's Chalk Talk coming up February 25th at MGM National Harbor. That is a huge prize. We have concert tickets as well. But join us right now to talk some Redskins. Somebody, John Kime, he joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. And, John, before we get into the team and draft needs and Kyler Murray, can you give us an update on the Maryland situation in the stadium? Are they basically just out?
That's according to the Washington Post story. Well, see, here's the thing. They said out at this time. Mm-hmm. So that means they can get back in it. So, you know, So I don't know if they're fully out or not, if it depends on the location there or not. And it sounded like it was over at the harbor area where they, you know, maybe try to back channel it a little bit. So I think the key phrase is at this time. So I'll be curious to see what happens in a few years or, you know, months or whatever, what that really means.
I know that's not really your beat. I know, like, our
no,
mutual
friend. Yeah, and yeah. I know, like, Liz Clark has been all over that one for the Post, and, you know, and their political writers, too.
Right, and, mm-hmm. and Rick Snyder, right? We have one all the time. Rick loves all that stuff.
Rick loves that stuff.
Yeah, but what's fascinating to me is, and I know a lot of this has to do with, like, tax breaks and these owners with their $100 million yachts, they still want, you know, free stadiums.
They want us to pay for it.
Yeah. But don't you also just get the sense that a lot of this just has to do with the diminishing sort of fascination with the football team? Like, we've just gotten so bad that people, the juice not even worth the squeeze. If this team was better and more competitive, we might be in a different environment.
Well, I think you can go back to, now having said that, like, when Cook tried to get it built, it was tough for him to get it built as well. And I think when mm-hmm. you're dealing with three different, two different states and then the district, it seems like there's going to be complicating factors regardless.
Yeah.
I do think it's amazing where this franchise has gone. Yes. And I think it's, you know, is this symbolic of that? Will politicians, you know, would they let that trip, you know, not trip them up, but would that get in the way of them wanting to do a deal? Is there less public pressure to either do a deal or maybe to not do a deal because of how people feel about the franchise right now? So, you know, I think it's interesting to see where this franchise has gone. Yeah.
Why would you go out on a limb, build a new stadium when they can't even get 20,000 out there? You know what I mean? That's like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, and I know, like, and even the story said, you know, if the Redskins blame the stadium for the attendance, it's,
please.
I mean, the state, you know, Landover, FedEx is just not a very good stadium, but
it's
if
fine.
They were winning consistently, then people are going.
It's
and
fine.
We all know that.
Yeah. That stadium is fine. It's not fancy, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's a pain in the right. Then it's a pain in the butt to get there. We all know that. But if they were winning,
right.
If they're winning and people felt the same way they used to about it, then it's not an issue.
We didn't hear that.
Not
in 2012,
yeah,
nobody was complaining.
The RG3 year, it was full. Yeah. It's packed.
Yeah. Listen, RFK was a dump. RFK was not a very good stadium. It's just that they won there, and it was a convenient place to get to. And it was also a lot smaller, but I think winning would have been a nice little.
I was going to say this: the team back at RFK was likable. That was a likable team with likable players, likable owner. I mean, it's a lot different.
It's a different vibe.
Not a lot of hashtags going on back in the day.
No. All right, so it brings us to the Kyler Murray situation. And, you know, I don't know where you stand on it. You have to be objective. I don't have to
be. Likes his feet.
All the reports. We had Charlie on the other day, and I expected Charlie to be old school. And Charlie was like, look, I'm not betting against that kid. He can do it all. And I, you know, this fan base is so beaten down. I consider myself one of their biggest fans. And I need a reason to get excited about this football team. And I know he's a big boom or bust pick, but I'm willing to go for it. Where do you stand on him? Are you pro Kyler Murray, or do you have big questions about his size, durability, and those kinds of things?
Oh, I definitely have big questions. No pun intended, but there's a lot that I really like about him. And I think that a lot of people are going to be in that same camp where it's like, you know, like, and I, there are sometimes when you watch some plays of his where it's just like, how did he get that off? And how did that happen? And he has, you know, he's short. I mean, he's about my height, so I kind of root for him, but I'm not sure I could see myself lining up behind center. But, you know, so I think, like, there are times where you'd expect him to get more passes batted down, for example, because of his size. But he did in college, they did a pretty good job. And you can widen the splits with the linemen, and all that. So that helps create some different passing lanes for you. But I also think that he has such a quick release at times, and I think that goes back to some of his baseball days when, uh-huh. you know, clearly, like, the way you sometimes have to throw the ball back in the infield for him, your feet aren't always going to be set the right way. If you ever played infield, if you're playing shortstop, sometimes you're not going to be able to line your feet up with a throw, and you've got to make an accurate throw. And you see that transfer onto the football field at times where his feet are just off, but yet because he can throw that way, the linemen can't get their arms raised. So that's a very good thing. The questions I have about him are a couple. One, you know, there are times where you'd see the short to intermediate accuracy was inconsistent. That, to me, was that kind of – that's what I've seen in a few games. And then sometimes it's because maybe he's falling back and off his back foot too much and the ball's sailing on him. Maybe he's trying to get it over the lineman's hands and it sails on him a little bit too. So I think that's something I would have a question about. And I think the other question I would have about him is when you line up under center, and like if you're a team like the Redskins who like to use that quick pass game where it's, you know, three-step quick and thrown right over the top, can you do that? That would be it. So I think you're going to have to really tailor, obviously you're going to have to tailor a lot of things to him, but would they take a chance? Is that, how much is that in the equation? I don't know that I would see them doing that. That's just a guess at this point because there's such a long way to go. But there's a lot that I really like with him, but I'm not sure that I'm sold that he'd be the best fit in every system. And everything I've heard is, like, when you talk to people, like, half the teams are going to like them and half the teams won't touch them.
Do you think there's any scenario where the Redskins trade up to try to get to Murray? Do they have the same sort of love affair with him that they had with RG3 six or seven years ago?
I couldn't say that. I don't sense that. And the hard part with that one is, I think with the Alex Smith situation, well, first of all, it depends on how high you're talking up to happen to go get him. You know, that's the question. Like with Griffin, they had to give up a ton because other teams were going to try. There were a couple other teams in contention for that number two spot. So even though they only moved up four spots, they had to give up a ton because of that. So what would you have to give up? The problem here is that with they don't have a ton of salary cap space because of just the Alex Smith situation. You can't cut him and recoup some of that, and so you're a little bit limited there. And then, so your best way to improve now and going forward is through draft capital. And they should have 9 picks when all the comp picks are announced. How much are they willing to give up? Would they be willing to give up to move up there? Do you have enough? And to do that, that's what I don't know. I'm not convinced that they would, but again, it just depends on how high are you talking they'd have to move up and what is the ultimate price. We're talking a second and a third, or you know, second in a future, this or that. I don't know, and I think that's where, you know, so it just depends on how high you'd be talking to move up.
Joined by John Keim, who covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. You wrote recently about the Redskins having to make some decisions on their own free agents, like linebacker Preston Smith. Talk about how you see that playing out, because they did draft Ryan Anderson 2 years ago.
Yeah, I see him going to free agency, and I'd be surprised at this point. I'd be surprised if he were back here.
Good.
I think the hard part with pass rushers, it's a little bit like quarterbacks. They're going to be paid. Most of these guys, you get to free agency, you can claim that they're all overpaid, and I just think that the market dictates what you get. So if that's what the market dictates, I don't know that you're overpaid. I do think like he's going to get paid more than what you would think because he is a young pass rusher. And then it depends too, like who else is on the market, because there are a few guys available right that look like they're going to be available. Are they going to be more affordable? Does DeMarcus Lawrence get out there? I doubt it. So there are a couple guys that, like, if they're not out there and Preston is the best option, he's a young guy. He's 6'6", good length, and he's only 26, so he's just now going into his prime. And, a team could look at that and say, okay, you've got this guy. You can give him a certain amount of money because he hasn't hit his best years yet. But I don't think the Redskins would feel comfortable going to that price for him, and knowing also that this is a very good draft for edge rushers. So I think, and plus they do have Ryan Anderson. I don't know that Ryan Anderson, he's not going to be a dynamic pass rusher, but I think his skills, what attracted him to them was not his pass rush skills, but just his overall demeanor, physical style. I mean, he plays with the violence that few do. And so, I could see them going in a different direction and drafting somebody to replace Preston Smith, and whether as a starter or as a third down, complementary guy to what else they have. But you need to have more edge rushers, and you always need to, it's kind of like pitchers in baseball. You can never have enough of them. So that's how I see that playing out right now. Unless something changes after the combine, I would be surprised if he doesn't get to free agency.
John, I know you've talked about this, but one thing that, a lot of certainly national guys are not talking about is, and we don't know because we didn't see him last year, is what, effect Geis is going to have on this offense.
Right.
He could be huge for them. You saw what Sony Michel did for the Pats. You saw what Nick Chubb did for Cleveland. You see what some of these rookies are doing, especially if there's another guy that they can spell the carries with. I don't know if that'll be Peterson or if they go out and sign someone else, but Geis is like having an extra draft pick because you didn't see him, and he could be huge and certainly could help any quarterback that comes in.
Absolutely. Now, the key there is obviously where's his health? We see the videos, and it looks like he's coming back fine. But, you're not going to know until you get into, training camp and really see him cut. Does he have that same level of explosion that they saw last year? And, can he go get through a season without any issues? We don't know those answers. And I'm not going to doubt him. I'm just like, you just don't know. It's hard to know. It's a tough injury. But what I do know is that before he was hurt, the excitement they had over him, and it wasn't just in the run game, it was in the pass game as well. And I think he was better in that area just in terms of running routes, catching the ball, than they, I think, had anticipated. So, I think to your point, one of the things they need to add on that offense are playmakers. And this is a guy that I think could be that guy if he gets back to where he was at before he got hurt. And if he does, then I think they can have something there. And because you saw it. I mean, you could see there were times where, listen, Adrian Peterson did a really good job. And he's, they didn't have anything without him. And late in the year, that Tennessee game, he showed that it wasn't a case of him wearing down. He put that team on his back. But Geis, I think, presents the ability to have more explosion overall. And I think they'd be a nice 1-2 combo. And I think, that's why I think they are talking to Peterson about a return, because because you need to have insurance in case guys can't, not even just if he can't play, but more so if he can't handle a full-time load, but you still need to get him involved. And Peterson can allow you to do that. But yeah, I think Geis would be, I think the potential is there. We just don't know how it'll play out, but I know the excitement level. In fact, I was talking to Randy Jordan, the running backs coach, late in the year, and he had told me, he's like, he had gone back and was watching some film from the summer, and he's like, I had forgotten how good he looked. So, you know, I think, you know, yeah, that he could be a very big help. He just, you know, again, how does any respond? We'll find out.
We don't know. John, if I gave you money to go up to the Vegas window and bet, do you think that they sign a veteran and draft a quarterback that they can groom, or they go in with Colt as their veteran and try and grasp at, you know, Kyler Murray? What do you think they do?
I think the way I would look at it now is signing a veteran and drafting somebody probably in the middle rounds. So, you know, whether it's bringing back Josh Johnson, whose name I have, you know, since the season ended, that's a name that they always said that, yeah, we could bring him back. Or if it's going out and getting a mid-level guy, if he's affordable, like a Teddy Bridgewater, somebody of that, at that level. I think the hard part with Bridgewater is you don't know where his price tag is going to go, because I think there's some mystery and intrigue surrounding him, and does it get too high? And then I think, so if they went that way with Bridgewater, then I think you're looking at like probably a mid-round pick with a quarterback. That's what I would kind of think. I think there are some guys who would be intriguing. Listen, I don't, you know, like guys, I think there's some skills that Drew Locke and Daniel Jones have that would be intriguing to them. Doesn't mean they'll take them, but I think there's some things that they're going to like there. But I would see it that way with, you know, some mid to low vet and then another guy to add in the middle of the draft or so.
All right, John, appreciate the time as always. This is John Keim.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys. Thank
ESPN.com. All right, coming up next, it's Game Show Wednesday, and we've got a big one to give away. We have Chalk Talk tickets coming up February 25th, an evening with Alex Ovechkin, Tom Wilson, and Lars
That's
Eller.
That's so big.
They're going to be retelling the key moments from the first Stanley Cup victory. You can call in now at 800-636-1067. We'll come back with NHLer or Russian politician.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back, Junkies, coming to you from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. And right now on a Game Show Wednesday, we're going to play a very difficult game, NHL or a Russian politician. You have a 50-50 shot.
It's a game that's been copied by a lot of other outlets over the years.
That's
just
true.
Has. Yeah, definitely has been.
Well, we've had spinoffs.
We've had spinoffs, but other people...
Now, other radio shows locally, or...
I don't know if locally or not, but people are definitely taking a bite.
Right.
There's been some bite-taking happening, right. Or bit-taking.
That's a compliment.
Whichever way you want
to take
it.
Take it as a compliment.
That's true. Very true. I do like the music. The music helps make
What is this,
day.
The Russian national anthem or something?
Probably
Soviet.
Something playing
Soviet
during like the
national
the,
anthem?
Like probably during the Russian Revolution, like back in, I don't know when that was. I can't give you years. I don't know.
But remember in Rocky IV, after Rocky beats Drago, the crowd gives it up to him.
That's right. They give props to Rocky.
Right.
That's correct. There's also a movie. There's also fiction.
All right, let's go to the phones. Who is our first contestant? And we'll give away the Caps Chalk Talk tickets first.
Yeah, they have to be first up. It's a huge prize.
All right, let's go to... We're just going to go in order here. Let's go to Eric in D.C. Hey, Eric, what's up, buddy?
How you doing? How you guys doing?
Doing great.
What's up?
Eric, NHL or Russian politician? Mikhail Fradkov.
Fradkov?
Fradkov.
Like F-R-A-D, Kov?
Da.
Okay.
F-R-A-D, Kov?
Yeah.
Come on,
Kov.
Quickly.
Mikhail
Fradkov. I say that's a Russian politician.
You believe it's a politician.
Da.
He
hey,
got
congrats.
It. There you go. It's
he
so simple.
What does he win, Cakes?
He win a pair of tickets to an evening with my countryman, Alex Ovechkin, Tom Wilson, and Lars Eller, February 25 at MGM National Harbor. Witness retelling of key moments from Ovi, Wilson, and Ellis. First and hopefully not last. Stanley Cup triumph. Courtesy of Fanatics. Details at thefandc.com/contest.
If the flaw of the contest is people are Googling, as we say, that's contest, the only problem.
Especially if he asks for the spelling.
Yeah. How do you spell it?
Yeah.
Twice gotta be quick.
Did he say how do you spell it?
Yeah, he goes, how do you, he spells it out to him. He goes, is that how you spell it?
I spelled it for him.
Yeah.
All right,
you
gotta
be fairly quick to pull it off.
But
how many do we have to give away?
That's it
for the Chalk Talk, but we do have
one.
We still have three pair of tickets to give away. Shamrock Fest and Zach Brown Band concert.
Oh, Zach
tickets.
Brown, that's a big one.
Who's our next contestant?
Let's go to Steve in Bristow. Oh, what happened? Is he gone? Hey, is this Steve?
No, it's Pat.
Pat? All right, go ahead, buddy.
Patty boy.
Pat, NHL or Russian politician Dmitry Peskov.
Oh, that's an NHLer.
Yet.
He was so confident.
He's
sorry.
Russian diplomat and
current,
translator.
Current diplomat?
Current. What makes you an oligarch? I hear that term thrown around a lot. He's a Russian oligarch.
Big silly with some power and influence.
Is it like just being
a
that's an accurate description.
Is that like being a governor or senator?
No, I think it just means you're in the inner circles. And you have
a power broker.
It means
some influence.
Titan of industry.
Yeah.
Type
yeah.
person.
I would just assume anybody named Dmitry is an NHL.
Mover and shaker. Yeah. Right. Who's up next?
Go to Greg Silver Spring. Greg, what's up?
Good morning, guys. What's up?
All right, Greg. Russian politician or NHL?
No, it's NHL or Russian politician, JP. Don't mess up the game.
All right.
Ivan Provorov.
NHLer?
He's got to be NHLer.
See you later, mate.
He is NHLer.
Oh,
he played for a team that I hate, but for mascot that I love. Gritty. Plays for Flyers. You win.
Right.
All right, you get the four-pack of tickets to this year's Shamrock Fest on March 23rd at RFK Stadium. 30 live bands and DJs play six stages with music from the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, the Mahoneys, Andrew WK, and many more. Join the shenanigans and get your tickets today at shamrockfest.com. It's courtesy of Highball Events. Details at thefandc.com/contests. All right, two more prizes to give away as we play NHLer or Russian politician on a game show Wednesday.
All right. Let's go to Rick in Front Royal. Hey, Rick. What's up, man?
Morning, fellas.
Hello,
morning, buddy.
Rick. Time for NHL or Russian politician Vladimir Tarasenko.
I'm going to say Russian politician.
I say Niet. He's star player for St. Louis Blues.
Sorry, Rick.
He's a star?
He qualifies star. Oh, okay. Not on Ovi level, but star.
Not many on Ovi's level.
Da.
Let's go to Josh in Prince Frederick. I'm guessing da means yes.
Da.
Yeah.
Either that or he's talking about the Grand Danny's producer, Brendan Da.
Brendan
Da. Love DFS sweats almost as much as Case.
Hey, Josh, what's up, buddy?
What's up, guys?
Josh, Vladimir Ustinov, NHL or Russian politician?
Russian politician.
Da. The prosecutor general. 2000 to 2006.
Hey, congratulations. You win tickets to see Zach Brown Band when the Owl Tour stops at Jiffy Lube Live August 25th. Tickets on sale now through Live Nation and the Jiffy Lube Live box office, courtesy of Live Nation. Details at fandc.com/contests. All right, we got one more. We got tickets to Shamrock Fest on the line. NHLer or Russian politician?
All right, let's go to Andy, Great Falls. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
What's
hey, buddy.
Up?
Andy Nikita Shoshnikov.
Has to be NHLer.
NHLer, da. Play for Maple Leafs and Blues. You win.
Hey, congratulations. You get those tickets to Shamrock Fest, March 23rd, RFK, including the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. You can get tickets at shamrockfest.com. It's courtesy of Highball Events.
Details, thefandc.com/contest.
When do we give tickets to Vodka Fest or Caviar Fest? Come on now.
Cakes, do you ever do the accent at home just to play along?
No. Like,
just
why would I ever use that bit?
It wants to stay married.
Slip into character with the kids one day.
You should do that when you're hitting skins with Abe.
Da, da, da. Last time I checked, she does not have... She's not even fetish for somebody speaking a different language.
You don't know, though.
That's true.
Why don't you could role play. You could be Ovi.
I could be Ovi.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Maybe the next time we have
Cakes would want to bang himself.
She could be Slapshot.
Maybe the next time that we are going to play this.
Yes.
Dress your wife up as Gritty.
You know, there are some actors. I think they call it method acting.
Yes.
Where during a certain movie, they will stay in character throughout the day,
true.
24 hours
Ooh,
a day.
I'm Daniel Day-Lewis now.
Well, I'm just saying. You step up your game. You do some method acting on a Tuesday night.
I think it's fine.
To prepare for a game show
So
Wednesday.
I go to Harris Teeter, and when I check out, I use a Russian voice.
Yes.
Who am I kidding? When I go to Harris Teeter, I always use the self-checkout. Always. Without fail.
I'm intrigued, though.
Not if I have a full load.
I'm intrigued.
I mean, if you have a full load of groceries,
right?
If you got about $170 worth of groceries,
okay,
I don't do the checkout. If I have six items, yeah.
I am intrigued. I see you guys every day, and the three of you always have hats, cakes, beanies.
Yes, okay? Correct.
If I just popped into your house at 5 p.m., like around dinner time, would you have a hat on or a beanie?
No, I never wear a hat in the house.
Sometimes,
so it's pretty much just a show, and then you take it off, and the rest of the day,
yeah, because I don't care what my hair looks like at the house.
I wear the, if I have a hat here, I'm wearing it at home. I wear hats all the time.
Nobody sees your hair ever.
Well, if I take a shower,
if he goes out,
I clean up. Yeah,
but generally,
I'm
and
dirty.
Like you're going to your kids' practices and games.
Yeah,
everybody
wear
sees
hat
the
all
hat.
The time. Yeah, all the time.
I'd say I'm about Rod Gardner, about 50-50.
I don't like hat head, so I don't want to take off my hat head. Is terrible.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wear a hat all the time.
I don't care who sees me at the house. Even if someone, you know,
yeah, the
knocks
house,
at the
I
door.
I would imagine it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, I don't care. My neighbors, I don't care. Walk the dog.
I like to look at myself in the mirror.
Do you keep the hat on during dinner?
Yes.
Oh, parents would get Rick. But you can't have a hat on during dinner.
My parents aren't at dinner.
Yeah.
Who cares? The hat.
I don't.
It's not good.
Now
etiquette.
That you say it, it makes me sound hurting.
What is he dining at Buckingham Palace?
Yeah. I don't know.
Listen,
it doesn't matter if he went to a Panera with his mom. You'd keep the hat on.
Yes.
Oh, Panera. Yeah. I mean,
it's
if you go
public.
To Palm, no.
Okay.
But if you go to Panera or Arby's, you're gonna leave
Put
your
it
hat
this way.
On.
I get paranoid if I go to like a hoops game or something, and they do the national anthem, and I got to take my hat off for 2 minutes. Of course, I'll take it off for that. Of course, I'm going to. But I'm paranoid with my hat head for the 2 minutes that I'm holding my hat because I feel it looks so hurting. And plus, I don't like looking at myself anymore, like in the mirror. And I think the hat helps a little bit. Yeah.
Aging is the worst thing ever.
Just, like, the more I look in the mirror, it's just really depressing. And the hat helps a little bit with that.
You know what? I'll tell you what. And you were talking about this the other day. And I experienced the same thing. I went to that house concert on Saturday night. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you went to a party on Saturday night, I believe. Mm-hmm. And just
this was an off-air conversation you and I had.
Okay. Well,
You're going to make your own observation.
There were so many old fat hurt teams at this place. I mean, people just don't take care of themselves anymore.
It's a punt-a-thon.
I mean, not all of them, but there were some women there that literally you couldn't fit them into a limousine.
Wow.
I mean, they're just.
I guarantee you there were guys there too, though.
True, true. Yeah. Just massive people.
Yeah.
And I'm just going, I'm looking at my wife. My wife, freaking best looking woman there, easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was freaking George Clooney.
Right. You felt silly.
I mean, these people were hurting.
Yeah. No, but you know what bothers me is when I see people.
And I mean, you know these people or they're just strangers?
No, nice people. And I'm not saying all of them.
Yeah.
Most of them are nice people. I'm just looking at physically. People just punt.
Well, Did that get you a little more size for tea that night?
They just punt. People just punt.
Oh, that's a yes. He avoided that.
It's clearly
I'm saying.
Yes.
I mean, you gave her a really good compliment there.
Well, I mean she's a good-looking woman.
Yeah.
Oh, the
You think
people.
I would marry an ugly woman?
Right.
No chance.
But what's tilting me is seeing our contemporaries, and people are getting, like, turkey neck and, you know, like, you know, like, they're just getting wrinkles everywhere, your muscle tones. Just people are just looking awful. People are getting fat. People are getting just gross looking. It's just, you're getting old.
Yeah, welcome to past middle age.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, in that particular environment, I didn't feel like I was in that class.
You felt like you were
maybe they look at me and go, that guy's got to be 55.
Hey, yeah.
I'm going to go to MGM National Harbor today. I'm going to feel silly. Feel silly about myself. In a poker room.
Yeah, because those poker guys
are terrible. In a poker
room
or a Super Bowl trip. I always feel silly about
myself. But do you feel
silly?
This is kind of a deep question, though. But do you feel silly when you look in the mirror?
No.
Because I don't.
No, not really.
It is soul crushing.
Right.
Like, I can't. The aging is crushing me.
Big
I don't like it. And it's not just gray hair. It's just. Just getting old, getting age spots.
It's the worst thing in the world.
You're
getting
just
old.
Your skin's getting wrinkly.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the gray hair I bought.
You guys will be there. You guys are laughing. You guys will be there.
No, we're laughing because we know you're trying to counteract the aging process by wearing joggers now every day.
No. You guys are just catching on to it. It's like I've been wearing them for like about 9 months now. You guys are just catching on to it.
I mean, they're getting tighter and higher up your calf.
Yeah. No, that's because I had my socks over them because I slept in them.
It's so weird that you show up to work with what you sleep in.
The only thing I didn't sleep in was this hoodie.
Comfort.
And my hat.
Comfort and utility.
I get up, I put shoes on, a hoodie, and I come to this work. You should smell me.
No, I'd rather
not. It's probably not true because I'll take a bath or a shower the night before, right before I go to bed, or maybe 5 p.m. or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then get up, do the show, and just rinse and repeat that.
I took a shower in between periods during the Caps game last night. That was the highlight.
From watching a 3-0 game.
In between the second
you
and third
you
period.
You missed the four shots in the first period when they got off hot?
No, I didn't miss any of it. I took a shower during intermission.
Yeah.
I had to be there to see the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I hope that doesn't get back to anybody. That was...
Oh, you didn't really know anybody.
I didn't.
Yeah, so you're fine.
Remember,
I won't be invited back.
Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, joins us at 8. Want to let people know that for over 30 years, the attorneys at Greenberg and Betterman have helped thousands of personal injury victims in the Washington metro area get the financial compensation they deserve. If you've been hurt in a car accident, been a victim of medical malpractice, or been denied Social Security disability benefits, let Greenberg and Betterman help you too. Call Greenberg and Betterman at 301-589-2200. Or visit them on the web at gblawyers.com. That's gblawyers.com. All right, we got Coach Brooks joining us at 8 o'clock, head coach of the Wizards. They've got the Raptors tonight. They had won two in a row, but then lost on the road in Detroit in their last game. And we were all excited about Jabari Parker, who had 20 points in his second game with the Wizards.
Well,
Followed that with the Jabari Parker next game.
All right, let's see. Was that a back-to-backer? Was that a back-to-back game?
I don't think so. I think they had back-to-back Cleveland and Chicago, and then the night off, and then they had Detroit, I believe.
Right. 3 and 4 nights.
Okay. Let's see how he plays tonight. Now, they're not going to beat Toronto. They shouldn't anyway, unless Toronto just lays down.
You wouldn't think.
But maybe he has a big game. Who knows?
So we'll talk to Coach Brooks about that. Of course, EB and Jason are very excited about it being Tiger Week. I don't even know what tournament it is.
Genesis. Mm-hmm.
The Genesis?
Yeah.
Right.
Where
Genesis
they play that? Open.
It used to be the Northern Trust.
Okay, so Tiger Woods is returning, and I saw this golf-related story and wanted to kind of get your take on it.
So,
It's been out there for a while, but I guess there are a little more details here.
Yeah.
And it's about Matt Kuchar won a tournament in November. I think the first tournament he had won in years, and he won $1.3 million.
Nice takedown.
And in the tournament, he used a club caddy.
Okay.
Right. His regular guy wasn't available that week for whatever reason.
The guy's name is David Ortiz. He's described in this article as a diminutive Mexican caddy who goes by El Tucan. And El Tucan received $5,000 in cash from Matt Kuchar.
$5,000?
Afterwards. Ortiz was upset. He thought he should have received a lot more based on a conversation they had had when they decided to work together for that weekend. And eventually, Matt Kuchar offered him an additional $15,000. So it would be a total of $20,000. Kuchar won $1.3 million, and the caddy ended up turning it down. He thought that that was a joke. He thought that he should receive $50,000.
Which is about half of what your typical caddy would get. Typically, if you win, these days the guys get about 10%. So he won $1.3 million. So your regular caddy would get $130,000 bonus
right.
on top of whatever his weekly, you know, $3,000, $4,000, whatever it is to carry right. the bag.
He nubbed him.
And now, Ortiz said that he did not expect to be paid what a tour caddy would
right.
have made.
When you're a
he
sub,
said he believed his work and contribution toward the win, though,
right.
was worth $50,000, which just seems like you're just pulling it from the clear blue skies, and right. this is my contribution.
But he might not be that far off.
It was his first win in 4 years for Kuchar. Who's made, by the way, $46 million.
That's just on the course.
Tour prize
he's probably
money.
Made $75 million in his career.
He's 10th on the career money list.
Maybe more.
So then Ortiz, apparently, on January 24th and on January 29th and February 5th, three different times, he sent emails
to his agent,
to Mark Steinberg, who's Kuchar's agent.
Also
and
Tiger's agent.
Eventually, Steinberg just said, look, he gave you a reasonable offer, you know, and tried to step away. What do you think of this?
I think it's too bad. I feel terrible for the caddy. I actually feel bad for Kuch. Maybe I shouldn't. You got a little background on this. Kuch is just beloved on tour by the fans. Beloved. Now, there have been some rumors since this story came out that this is kind of like not the first time that Kuch has kind of been like cheap. So it just gives you a different kind of look. It's not a good look for Kuch. And it makes it seem like, oh, I'll just pay this guy $5,000. That's a ton of money for some guy that lives in Mexico. You know what I mean? It
right.
just, you know, like.
And apparently there was a comment.
It's
obviously
a horrible look.
I don't know who Tom Gillis is.
He's a former player.
He apparently said something to that effect. Like, yeah. That's a lot of money for a Mexican, which is just terrible.
You can't say that.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's.
It does look bad. But
and apparently he makes about $200 a day, his club.
Well, no, yeah. he can make as much as that. Typically he
right.
makes half that.
Right.
So, you know, so he probably makes $500-$600 a week.
Right.
He lives in like a concrete house. You know, it's tough.
The problem is, again, like Eric said, it looks bad for Kuchar because it looks like he's a 100% squeaker.
Yeah.
Because $5,000 to a guy who's worth $75 million is like a dime.
Yeah.
So
he just made $1.3 million. Well, if you just forget about the background, he made $1.3 million
right.
using that caddy, and he gave him $5,000.
You just have to have the context. And the context is typically if your regular caddy would get 10% of that. So that's why the guy expected, okay, maybe I didn't expect $130 because I'm not your regular guy. I'm just your sub.
But 5% would have been
5%
acceptable.
Would have been fine.
He actually wanted less than that because
he
only wanted 50. He
yeah.
didn't want 65.
Which is like 4%. It would have been nothing. But here's the other part of the problem, though, and it's both of them are at fault. They didn't agree specifically up front. They agreed to $3,000
yep.
and a percentage of the winnings, but they didn't spell out.
Got to get it in writing or have some
sort of.
We got
to at least verbally say, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that's awkward, and these guys do these kind of handshake things all the time. And, you know, I'm sure Kuch didn't expect to win.
I would have taken the 15.
Yes.
He'll eventually.
I wouldn't have turned down the extra time.
I bet he eventually will get it.
You can't take.
But
can't
you know
do
what?
Handshake deals. That's what this crystallizes.
Well, it's not even a handshake deal. They didn't. Early.
They didn't communicate.
They didn't spell it out. So it was left up to Kuch.
If I was
Kuch, just nubbed him.
I would have given him. I would have. I don't know if I would have given 113 or whatever it was. I would have given him easy. I would have given him 25 or 30.
Right.
You think?
Just give him 50. Just give him half what you would. Less than half what you would have given your original.
Kuch looked at it like he was getting a bargain.
Yeah,
that week.
Even if you don't want to give him 50, who knows? He maybe didn't think it was that good.
Well, he's good enough to help him win the tournament.
It was the Mayakoba. I mean, you could have played in that tournament.
Still.
But you know what? But $5,000 is a real slap in the face for a professional golfer. I mean, these guys live in palaces. They don't pay for anything.
The problem is it really makes Kuch look like I'll just give this guy $5,000 to him. That's like $100,000.
He probably $5,000
is a lot to him.
Yeah, that's a lot to him. No need for me to give him the other. And that's just a terrible look.
Can he now go back and give him the 45? You still look like a douche.
Well,
if he says, you know what? You make a point. It's been a couple months. You've been emailing. Here's
$45,000. If this had all been on hush-hush, maybe they could have worked it out. But the caddy's also gone public, so you make Matt look bad. So it's just bad all the way around. I feel terrible for everybody involved. And it changes your opinion of Kuch.
who he's a squeaker.
Everybody
he's,
loves.
He's a squeak.
Everybody's yeah. loved squeaker. Him since he won the U.S. Amateur.
Everyone's got, not everyone, but most people have a little squeak in
them. He's a tightwad. He just
is. His U.S. Amateur wins was one of the more popular amateur
Absolutely.
Wins. And then when he went out, remember, after he won it, and he played so well in the Masters right after he won the Amateur, I think, did he have like a top five finish or top 10 finish? He played
yes.
great.
Yes. He's a
and
great
then he
player.
Actually didn't turn pro and said he was going to just have a career in like insurance or something. It took him a while to turn pro. He was like a unique guy.
Then he realized he's not going to make $30 million selling insurance.
And he should have won the freaking British Open. Should have won the Open. But Spieth was draining 100 footers.
And people just love him. And now it's just, man, his image is taking a huge hit.
I don't think this, the caddy, I don't think made it public. Like everything that he was doing was kind of private and through the agent. And then that guy,
well, now
Tom Gillis, heard about it.
Well, people were tweeting about it. People were tweeting about it.
There were rumblings.
You can't keep anything private. You can't keep anything secret now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awkward, dude. It's really
awkward. I mean, if we won $1.3 million in a golf tournament, what would you give your caddy? I'd easily give him 40 or 50 grand.
You just know whatever the standard is, you would give him.
Well, I'm
whatever
saying if it was a substitute.
And if whatever the standard is for substitutes. It's not the first time it's happened.
Yeah, you know let's just say it's half.
Yeah, should have done it. Half
that. Whatever the standards are.
You
got to
do it the standard.
I've never actually made money in the Junkies Poker Open,
it's
but
very
people
similar.
Who make the final table, they say you have to tip out the dealer,
you have to
right?
tip out the dealer, whatever the percentage is. And that's always awkward, too, because nobody knows.
Right.
Unless you're like a regular. Like, what do I tip this guy? I just won, you know, X amount in this dumb tournament. What am I supposed to tip the dealer?
Right.
Because you don't want to look like a cheapskate.
Right. Also, if you ever win like a 50-50 at a charity golf tournament, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to give the money back?
Oh. Right. Well,
my wife asked because, I, of course, at the most recent Caps game, I bought $40 worth of 50-50 tickets. And she said, aren't you going to feel guilty taking the money? I said, no. No.
Right.
The Monumental Foundation, they'll get $9,000, and your boy Flakes will get $9,000. But I'm not giving that money back.
On the flip side, guys like Phil Mickelson will give a guy $1,000 for holding the door for him.
That's true. That's true.
So it's just the way he is.
It's just the way Cooch is. I've heard that Mickelson, literally, if you give him directions, he'll give you $100.
Like
he just throws money out.
I would say, I'll take the money, but you should use Google because they'll give you better directions
right.
than I will.
Like, Mickelson just tips everybody.
Yeah.
He's amazing. And I think that's the better way to go, obviously. I go to a restaurant, and if I know that they know who I am or, like, you know, we have a relationship or something, I have to. I feel the need to overtip.
Plus, you're
Do you feel that way?
Plus, yes. you're usually
like
getting,
a minimum
plus,
20%. Minimum.
You're usually using your gift card, so you got to overtip.
That
gift
is
card
an overtip.
Too. Gift card
element
too.
Right. If you're using a gift card, you cannot squeak on the tip.
Right.
Got to give a good one.
I'm almost out of gift cards.
I don't. Don't worry, there'll be more coming.
I don't even think I have any. I think I'm fresh out.
Your gift card poor.
Medium rare, I'm saving that one.
Yeah.
Special. I'm saving that one.
All right, coming up next, we will talk to the Wizards head coach, Scott Brooks, right here on the Junkies.